And now, join Kevin Hart as he dives into the minds of some of your favorite celebrities. This is Gold Mines with Kevin Hart.
Welcome, world. Welcome to an all-new episode of Gold Mines. You already know what it is. You know what we do here. Get inside the minds of amazing people. And this week, well, it's going to be special. You know why it's going to be special, guys? Because I announced my new tour, which is called Acting My Age. Such an appropriate title to where I am in life. It's a title that's not only fitting, but one that I feel will be understood. It's a celebration of understanding. And in honor of that news and the feedback that we got for the 15-year celebration of I'm a Grown Little Man, we decided to do another deep dive for my second hour special, Seriously Funny. You know, people really responded to what we did just in talking in length about Grown Little Man, just about where I was at that time in my career as a comedian and in life in general. And, you know, kind of pulling back that curtain, allowing people to see and understand things they had no idea about. It was beneficial. Got a great response from it. So why change, right? If it's not broke, you don't need to fix it. So stay on path. That's what we're going to do. I love giving our listeners a chance to hear a little more about my story, my path to success, exclusively here on Gold Mines. There's no place else where you're going to get these gems, which is once again why I love this podcast. So with that being said, well, let's get inside the mind of me, Kevin Hart. I'm joined by my producer, Danny. So Danny, you're going to have to navigate this thing. Don't fuck this up, Danny. Okay? You had a really good start to something special. So you don't break it. Okay? Don't fuck it up, Danny.
A lot of pressure. Well, I'm excited. I love this special. I watched it a couple of times to prepare for this. And so I want to take a step back and talk about the time between I'm a Grown Little Man and the taping of Seriously Funny. It was about a year, roughly a year, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I want to say, yeah, it was a year. Yeah.
This is Gold Mines, hosted by Kevin Hart. Now more from Kevin Hart on Gold Mines.
What happened within that year? Because when you look at Kevin, I'm a Grown Little Man walking out to the stage versus Kevin walking out to Seriously Funny, it feels like a lot happened in that year. So paint the picture of how life changed for you in that year.
You know, the difference in Grown Little Man is Seriously Funny, right? And I think there was a jump. There was a jump in support from my fan base that I couldn't truly understand because it was happening so fast. And, you know, after doing Grown Little Man, my ticket sales and stuff like that started to grow. I saw a little bump in comedy clubs, and you know, we got to the place where I wasn't like selling out multiple shows, but some of them were. You know, out of 7 shows for the weekend, maybe I was selling out like 3, and the other nights were full. That's a big deal. Mm-hmm. That's a real big deal as a young comic when you see yourself getting some type of engagement from fans, when you're getting a following from fans. I was like, wow, this is a little insane. So when Seriously Funny came about and we were back on the road, well, those numbers started growing from the comedy clubs to where it was like multiple shows being sold mm-hmm. out. Multiple, you know, out of the 7 shows for the weekend, I was selling out 7. Yeah. And what it was the steam from Grown Little Man that had picked up. And I did another special, I want to say close to it, because Seriously Funny and the Shaq's Comedy special were close mm-hmm. in proximity, right? Mm-hmm. And because of the Shaq's All-Star Comedy Jam success, that kind of gave me another boost in ticket sales while I was on the Seriously Funny tour. So I was right. able to go and jump into the theaters while being on that tour. And that's when I saw my fan base turn it into something that I had no idea.
Yeah.
I was like, oh shit, like people are fucking with me. Right. People are coming out to see me. Like that was a real big deal. that was a really, really big deal for me at the time.
One thing I saw that was dope was coming out and you shouted out Shaq and LeBron. You're shooting it in Cleveland. How surreal was that? You know, the last special you talk about walking out and damn near bouncing checks. In this episode, you're talking about, or the special you're talking about, what's up, Shaq? What's up, Brian? You know, Cleveland is crazy. Like, you ever look back at that difference?
Yeah. Cleveland. What's up, Cleveland? How y'all feel? Everybody good? Y'all good? Everybody straight? Cold as shit out this bitch, ain't it? I don't like that. All this snow. I don't like that shit. Y'all got that slushy shit. That slipping snow. Hey, nigga, God damn it. It's slush right there. Watch the slush. I don't like that shit. Y'all ain't supposed to have snow out here. Good year for y'all, though. Right now, got, before I even get started, shots out. Hey, Sugarfoot, how you doing? How you doing, sweetie? Get it out now before we get started. Shouts out to my man Shaq up front, showing love. The Cavs. My man LeBron in the house. Shout out to your boy LeBron in the house. It's a good year for y'all. A good year for y'all. Y'all might do it. Y'all might do it. The really crazy piece of the puzzle is, you know, there's a timeline of association with my peers. And, you know, you're talking about Brian's early days at Cleveland. We're talking about LeBron James and Shaq being on the same basketball team and how mind-blowing that time was for the city of Cleveland. And, you know, for me, as a talent that was kind of growing as well, you know, me, Brian, D. Wade, Melo, Chris Paul, like, I don't play basketball, but I'm like a part of that rookie class because we all were close. So, you know, it's crazy that we were all kind of finding our own lanes and having our own individual triumphs in our career. So when I came to the city of Cleveland, I was like, yo, I'm doing my special. Brian was like, oh man, I'm coming through. Shaq said, I'm coming through. And, you know, at that team, there was nothing hotter than the Cleveland Cavaliers, right? Like they had this cool factor attached to them. So coming to that city, doing my special in that city, having my brothers come out and show love, all of those things added to like this massive opportunity. Because it's like you're getting co-signed. You're getting co-signed without it happening on purpose. It's just real support. It's authentic love and authentic support. So to be able to do that and have that at that moment, I think all of that stuff just added, you know, to the energy that you see me have or that you saw me have while taping Seriously Funny.
Yeah. And everyone talks about, you know, you have your whole life to come out with your first album, your first special. And then you come back, you know, a little bit over a year later with Seriously Funny. But did you ever have that fear of like, I got to beat this original joint that was a classic? How'd you overcome that? Because I feel like Seriously Funny got even better, a version of Kevin, as you evolved. How'd you come up with that through that year?
Well, you know what's crazy, man? It's like, it's like you don't do it on purpose.
Right.
Right. Yeah, it's like you, the world thinks like you got this intent, and this intent is to beat out the last thing you did every single time. And with stand-up comedy, like, it's so much pressure to try to make the joke funnier than the joke that you told before. How do I create the new funny joke that people are going to love and think is funny that's much better than the one that I did before? If you have that mindset, it's going to be tough. It's going to be hard to do that because you're constantly comparing. But what happens is you find this spot of creativity that's just like never ending when you're in what they call the jello. It's like, while creating the material for Seriously Funny, it was like, this was the progression from Grown Little Man. So Grown Little Man was like, hey man, I'm here. I'm grown and I'm serious about comedy. Seriously Funny was like, hey, Grown Little Man wasn't an accident. Guys, look, I'm Seriously Funny.
Yeah.
Here's another version to show you how serious I am about being funny. And I found a nice through line, in that, I found a nice through line of material that I was able to hold on to and gravitate towards. And, you know, the materials, it was evergreen. It was evergreen. Mm-hmm. And it was also like, I want to say universal. Yeah. That's when I started to really realize the importance of universal material, because I want to make everyone laugh. I don't just want to make a specific group of people laugh. I want to make the world laugh. So I started to kind of develop everything with that mindset. And Seriously Funny was edgy. Like, that's edgy, Kev. When you go Grown Little Man, you go Seriously Funny. Yeah. That's when I still had the edge to me. I mean, right now I've gotten back to that. Like this new tour, Act at My Age, it's extremely edgy. Okay. It's extremely raw. And if you notice, like in my last couple of just comedic stances, I've kind of like started to baby step back in that direction. Reality Check was raw. It's like, it's me going backwards and reverting to that energy of old while having the mindset of new. So I'm able to combine the two. But Seriously Funny, you're looking at a guy that just was, you know, wheels off and going 100 miles per hour with no care in the world, because it was all about the laugh.
Yeah. Yeah, when I was watching it a couple of times, the theme that came to me was like masterclass of observations. Like, because you said, to your point, observational comedy, I think what makes it funny is because anyone that's listening to the joke can relate to it. And from relationships to parenting, like everything in the special was super relatable and just like funny. And it was raw. And I really enjoyed that part of it. But yeah, the big thing for me was like, this is a masterclass of observations. And there's like memes that I didn't even realize were from Seriously Funny, that when I'm like, oh, this is from Seriously, I didn't realize what even special this was from.
I mean, dude, I want to say like, that's probably my, I want to say that is probably my most quoted special, between that and Laugh at My Pain.
Yeah, so let's get into the jokes of it. So the one that got me was Say It With Your Chest, Little Ass Nigga, with Uncle Richard Jr. And him coming back. Once again, we talked about the last special, characters. So you bring back a lot of these characters, but like in a heightened way, because we already know baseline who these people are. So that was one that stuck out to me, you know, when your brother calls you up like, Uncle Richard Jr. is back in, you know, town. Let's pull up on him. And he's in the living room like a pit bull or something. And you're explaining.
It's the truth.
My uncle is a real thug. Certified. Put a stamp on him. Locked up 15 years. Got out of jail. Ain't nothing changed. Very serious. Like, listen. When my uncle talk, this how he look. I don't care what he talking about. This how he look. I don't care what he's saying. Put the goddamn jelly on the motherfucking sandwich. Do it. Spread it. He's crazy. He's institutionalized, man. You got to understand, when you've been in jail for 15 years, all you know is jail. Your mannerisms, your language, you eat, sleep, and think jail. Okay? Your threats aren't even the same. Like, whenever you threaten somebody, they should know what's about to happen. It's a transition into a fight. I'm sick of your ass. Get up. When they get up, they know it's gonna be a fight. Stuff my uncle says leaves you in suspense. They're like the worst jail metaphors I've ever heard in my life. I don't even know how to explain them, okay? He gets out of jail, my brother called me. He said, Kev, Uncle Richard Jr. just got home. I said, what? I'm on the first flight. I'll be there in the morning. I ain't seen him in 15 years. I gotta see him. I get there, my uncle in the middle of the living room floor. I'm hyped to see him. I'm like, Uncle Richard Jr., what up, baby? 15 years, that's a long time, man. How you been? I swear to God, that's what he said to me. Say it with your chest, little ass nigga. I didn't know what to say. My brother came out of nowhere and grabbed me. He was like, chill. He's been saying this all day. We don't know what it means. Just wait a minute till we figure it out. Now, here's the thing, right? I said, no, I'm not going to chill. I'm going to talk to him. Y'all not talking to him. I pulled him to the side and said, look, Unc, a lot of stuff has changed since you've been going, man. I'm doing well. I'm making good money now. Let me take you out, put you around some women, get some drinks. We'll have a good time. He said, all right, cool. I take him to a lounge, right? I'm at the bar. I'm drinking. There's women around me. I'm having a good time. I can't see him, but I can hear him. Out of nowhere, all I hear is, I'm sick of this motherfucker, man. Kev, pin the tail on his ass. Is it his birthday? Why would I do that? Why would I do that? What do you mean? Peel this motherfucker's muffin cap back blue. Is that a drink? That's probably a drink. Can I get a peel his muffin cap back blue? Say it with your chest! Can I get a peel his muffin cap? I don't know what to do. I was confused.
This is not made up things. This is the truth. 1,000%. Like Uncle Richard Jr., I can say it's probably one of the best things that I was able to bring to a comedy set, right? Like when you're able to really like get into the world of your characters and like bring them to life, but through interaction and engagement, not just with myself, but with other people that I'm bringing to the table as well. You create a nice little through line for him. And I remember Uncle Richard Jr. from the Say It With Your Chest, little ass nigga, you know, peel your muffin cap blue. You know, there was so much energy with that, with him. And I was able to ride off of that with my dad, with myself, but with my mom. So these were like influential people that were around me in a consistent manner. So when the audience can go and relate and engage and go, oh my God, wow, we had no idea. This is so funny, so good. You allow the opportunity for a story to never die. So from special to special, you can call back because your audience is now following you on this journey. And it's always going to be a big bonus when you bring one back, when you bring an uncle back or an aunt back or your dad back. They're always going to be right there with you. So, you know, that's kind of been like the little cool thing that I had in my set that I'm like, I'm very, very happy that I was able to develop and build off of.
Yeah. Going back to All Right, All Right, All Right. The precursor to that, that was funny, was did he hit me twice? And I'm going to go get Steve. give me the trash. Give me the trash.
Yeah. That's when you got your ass whooped. Thought he got jumped. He thought he got jumped. How many times he hit me? Like, but all of those are like hood. Those are all like hood funny things that people like really can relate to and understand. I mean, you know, getting jumped and not knowing how many people there were that were a part of the fight is real. You don't know. It happens so fast. So when you are in that, you come out of it like, hey man, like who else was there? Like who else, you know what I mean? Like you just got questions. You got questions and you want answers so fast. That's the best part about the story of one getting jumped. It's not the jumping, it's the aftermath of understanding that you're looking for. Well, somebody got to tell me what happened and how fast it happened, because this is ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous.
It's the recap after. So when did he come into the picture? You know,
that's 1,000%. That's what it is. 1,000%.
Guys, man, I'm not that guy. I'm not a fighter, man. I'm not. I won't act like I am. I won't. Seen too many bad things happen. I saw my dad get knocked out one time. I was 13. Traumatized me. This guy hit my dad twice in the same spot. Quick as hell. Quickest two punches I've ever seen in my life. I've never seen anything like it. Bop, bop. Hit my dad so fast, in the middle of the fight, my dad stopped fighting and asked me what happened. In the middle of the fight. In the middle of the fight, he's like, bop, bop, shit. Hey, Kevin, hey. He just hit me twice. Yes, he did. Are you sure it was him? It's only y'all two out here, Dad. Ain't nobody else out here with y'all. So you telling me he that fast? They not jumping me? Ain't nobody jumping me? No, ain't nobody jumping you, it's just him. Well, he must be an octopus because I saw a lot of stuff going by my face. Really? Really, Dad? An octopus? That's what you just fought? A human octopus? Really? When my dad called another grown-ass man an octopus, that was the day that he stopped being my dad. I lost all respect. He didn't understand that, though. He's still trying to discipline me around the house. Kevin, hey, did I tell you to get the trash out? Get up, get the trash out if I crack your damn face. Shut up. You get the trash out if I get Steve to come over here, put his damn hands on you again. Oh, you gonna get Steve, huh? You are something else, you know that? You are something else. Give me the trash, I'll take trash out. Give me the trash. He didn't want to see Steve again. Steve beat the shit out of my dad. You ever see somebody lose a fight and talk like they won? That's my dad. Like, after he got knocked out, he's like, you good? Are you good now? I said, Dad, I don't think that's your lines. I think the winners say that. I think the guy who won say that. You just lay down for a second and let him finish his speech. I think you got up too fast anyway. You're going to be dizzy.
Oh, that was funny. And then going back to kids, and you were talking about another theme that's pretty consistent is watching the kids. And and you better not be in that toilet and just another memeable moment that I feel like growing up for me as a young person, you better not be in that toilet is a thing that we just use before we even had responsibilities. So funny. So funny.
Yay. I'm going to tell you where the you better not be in that toilet. All of that comes from the concept of a mother knowing what her child is doing, because the space is so small that a kid can't get away. And I remember my mom, she didn't have to see us. We didn't have to be in bird's eye view, right? It was always a call out. It was always a reference to. And I tell you what, you better not be in that daggone refrigerator messing with that stuff. You ain't supposed to be messing. It didn't matter what it was. Mm-hmm. It was just the fear that could be implemented with the yell, the tone. The tone could change so much. My mom was very, very good at that. And I mean, look, and seriously funny is like when you think about it, all of that said is built around the storytelling, the character involvement, my reaction to dealing with said people. More importantly, the concept of fear that was put in me because of who I was always accustomed to being around. Mm-hmm. I think Seriously Funny is probably my favorite. I would say Seriously Funny, Grown Little Man, Let Me Explain, and Reality Check are probably my favorite. Like those are my favorites. And I mean, I said this before, you know, dude, this is gonna be like number, I think 8 or 9. I don't even know what it is. I'm not even sure what act in my age will be, but I want to say it's up there. I want to say it's up there at 8 or 9. And I said it before, like a new hour of material is not easy. No. It's not easy. It's not an easy, quick thing. You know, it takes some time. And Seriously Funny, I think I got very lucky with developing Seriously Funny. Yeah. I was in that energy. I was also in the comedy clubs every day. I lived in a comedy club Monday through Sunday. I was in a comedy club working on that material.
This is New York? You're in New York at this point?
This is New York, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I was in New York. Name a comedy club. I was there. Stand-up comedy, Boston Comedy Club, Comedy Cellar, Comic Strip, Gotham, Dangerfields. I mean, mm-hmm. if you name it, if you had a stage, Caroline's, it didn't matter. I was working out and trying my best to get that set to a point of where I felt it was great. And, you know, it's never ending in the road to that feeling. But if you approach that day to day with a strong idea of what you're trying to do, then those days aren't wasted, man. I was doing like 5 and 6 sets a night, Danny. That's how much I was getting on stage.
These are 15s or what?
I mean, 15-minute sets, 15 to 20-minute sets, 5, 6 of them a night. I mean, you just add that up.
Right.
You do the math, you know. You're looking at anywhere from 35 to 40 to 45 sets throughout the week. You got no choice but to get better.
Right.
You got no choice.
Yeah.
It's all about the reps. I was rep heavy. I was Seriously Funny.
And then this will be 9 specials.
Number 9. God damn.
More Gold Mines with Kevin Hart after this. Now back to Gold Mines with host Kevin Hart.
Getting back to the observational part of it, and another part that was hilarious was the relationship stuff and the you take a bite, I take a bite, you take a bite, I take a bite. We all have friends that are newlyweds or they're in a relationship or a dude that is habitually in a relationship. It's like, all right, bro, come on, like we get it. Like, where is this stuff coming from? Is a lot of this stuff, like, you just getting one little piece of reality and expounding upon it? Or are you really like, you were at a dinner and this couple was like, bro, y'all got to get out of here. This is weird.
That's exactly what it is. That's coming from being around the new couple, right? The new couple that is excited about the idea of a relationship and are like not on purpose. They're not doing it on purpose, but it's like that couple that accidentally competes with everyone else, right? Yeah. It's like, you know, you're just everything is for the idea of the cute. You know, baby, I love you. No, I love you. You love me. I love you. No. It's all for the idea and for the visual that other people can have and connect to you. And that's, you know, it's a phase. It's a phase that most go through. I don't knock them for it, but I'm disgusted by it. So that was a way of me simply just saying, all right, enough of the shit. Like, let's paint a nice little picture of this and let's do it correctly and just make fun of it, you know? Yeah. So the cute new couple, will forever have a soft spot in my heart just because it's funny. And it's things that make people laugh at themselves. Everybody can relate to being that at some point in time.
And on the inverse of that, kind of the downsides, we've all been in tough situations, but do you boo boo? Cause I'm a do me. You know,
my angry woman material was always good.
Yes.
By the way, that comes from a lot of the dumb shit that I've probably done over my course of life. But those reactions, those moments are priceless. It's priceless. Yeah. And once again, you're trying to give people things that they can relate to. You're trying to make sure that people walk away with going, oh my God, that's me, or I did that, or I know somebody that did that. That to me just helps. It helps in just painting the best possible picture that you can to tell the best possible story that you're trying to tell. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The visual aid is always big, always big.
Yeah. You did that perfectly with the last thing on that is storming out. But I think that's one of my favorite jokes of all time, because, you know, the swing the diaper bag is a visual thing, because everybody knows, like, you would have to put it over your shoulder before you leave the house.
You have to. 1,000%. You have to. It's the little things. Yeah. Danny?
I'm not a good storm outer, people. I can admit that. For those who do not know what storming out is, that's when you leave the house angry. I'm sick of this. I'm gone. Slam the door. Boom. Purpose of storming out is to leave the illusion in your lady's head that you're never coming back. When you slam the door, she's supposed to break down. So when you slam the door, I'm gone. Boom. She breaks down. This is my impression of women breaking down. No. Oh my God. No. Please. Don't. No. 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 Don't do this to me. No. Every time I do this, you do this. No. No. I don't want. I hate when women cry and try to talk. I can't stand that shit.
I don't want to do that. I'm trying to do nothing.
I look like the first slave to ever walk.
I don't want to do nothing. I'm just trying to get it right.
It's too much. I'm going to tell you why I'm not a good storm outer. You know why? Because I forget stuff. You can't storm out and forget shit, because then you got to go back and get the shit you forgot. You look stupid. Trust me, fellas. I know this from experience. You leave angry. I'm sick of this, man. I'm done. I don't care. I'm done. Forget you. Forget the house. I'm out. Boom! Give a shit, man. My keys. God damn it. My keys. On the thing. Babe, let me get the keys on top of the thing. I left my keys up on the top of the thing, please. I need my keys. The reason why I need my keys is because I got to get in my car. When I get in my car, I cut the car on, step on the gas, make the tires burn out. The reason why I do that, women, you can't handle it. You break down after a while. Oh my God, no, he's gonna kill himself. No, no, don't do it. Do the speed limit, please. No, every time. That's my impression of women. Had to get out of there. Tell you another reason why I can't storm out the house correctly. My son always wanna come. Can't storm out with a kid, it take too long. Storm out's gotta be fast. In and out, boom, boom, quick. My son be at the door. No, no, stay with your mother. Boy, God damn it, stay with your mom. This is when women try to use kids as ammunition. Look at you, you piece of shit. You can't even take your son with you. He want to go with his dad, but you can't even take your son with you. Now I can't be a piece of shit. I got to prove a point. I got to take him. But I'm telling you something, fellas. You look stupid when you try to keep your attitude and get a baby shit together. You look dumb. So from experience, you look stupid. You know, I don't give a shit. I take it. Get the diaper bag. Put the sippy cup and shit in the bag. Put the change of clothes and shit in the bag. This one I knew I looked stupid. When I did this with the diaper bag, let me tell you something, bitch. If you think I give a fuck about you, let me tell you something. You got another thing coming. When I swung the diaper bag on my shit, let me tell you something, bitch. If you got another goddamn thing coming, if you think I give a
shit. No, man, look, it's all about giving the audience things to react to. And, you know, this was a heavily audience engaging set. You know, it was material that I felt, you know, has done a great job of just sustaining the test of time. It's still there. And that's the dream. If you can mm-hmm. do a comedy special and, you know, years after, you got people that are still talking about the jokes from or still highlighting the time when you did, that's a big deal. That's a real big deal, you know. Competing with yourself is just hard.
Yeah,
it's extremely hard, and that's kind of where I've been at for quite some time. So forcing the idea of new creativity is something that you just have to be adamant about and make sure that you put yourself in a position where you're able to still develop, you're able to still do, and you're able to still have fun. And that's the thing that I remember the most about Seriously mm-hmm. Funny, how much fun I was having. I don't want to lose that fun. I want to keep that fun.
And one of the funniest things, once again, was the story about Nate. And Nate, y'all the closing joke, essentially, with y'all leaving the club and Nate taking forever. To get y'all out of the club. And I kind of wanted to play this clip just so you can kind of see the physicality and the little small things. Then I want to get your thoughts on how you perfected all that through those 40, 50 sets a week.
Here's the thing. Oh my God. I give Nate a lot of shit. I tease Nate a lot, okay? But at the end of the day, he's got my back. I know he does. Nate would take a bullet for me if he had to. How do I know this? Because it's been confirmed, all right? Nate, we was in Dallas, Texas, all right? Me, Nate, my boy Harry, Wayne, Spank, my lady was with me. We having a good time. We do a show, we at the after party. We getting it in. Getting money. Getting money. We getting it in, right? I look up, the owner of the club, he got my lady by the arm, her girlfriend by the other arm, he throwing them out the club. I saw it happen, but I acted like I didn't because I didn't want to be a part of it. I didn't want to be involved. So my boy Wayne was like, yo, he got your girl by the arm. I said, what? Chill. Don't nobody do shit. I got it. I run up to him. I said, yo, don't put your hands on my lady, man. I pushed him. He didn't go back that far, but it was a good push for me. It was all I had. When I did it, he was like, security. Security guards came up, grabbed me, put me in a full Nelson. Now, you know how you think you're making somebody struggle? Like, you know, you think you're giving them a hard way to go? I thought I was, but I wasn't. I was just moving my face. I was like, ha. So now, in my mind, I'm like, where's Wayne at? That's my security guard. That's why I pay for shit like this not to happen. On cue, Wayne and my boy Spank come run up. They grab the security guards. They're like, get off him. Let him go. Get off him. Now, I hear him, okay? I'm still in the full Nelson, but I hear my friends, so I feel better. I'm like, I know I'm safe now. But before they let me go, the owner, he mushes me. He puts his hand on my face. He said, I said, get the fuck out of here and mush me. I never had nobody put their hand on my face, so I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to get it off. I panicked, I licked his palm. I was like, I licked the shit out of his palm. I was like, get your hands off my face. He was like, ah. So then they let me go. Now I'm free, but I'm like, yo, I'm not leaving because I don't want him to think I'm a bitch. So I run back up to him. I'm like, yo, man, don't put your hands on my face. You don't know me like that. As I'm talking to him, I'm like, oh, shit, he's in a fighting stance. Kev, he about to hit you. Protect yourself. Better yet, hit him first. I throw a punch, punched him right in the face. Bam! Never hit nobody in the face before, so I was excited. I celebrated. I was like, yeah, bitch, you don't want it. Real niggas. All day. Deep life. All day. By myself. Gun on my waist. Smile on my face. In jail. One bed. One blanket. You want to go night-night, nigga? You want to go night-night, nigga? So now, He tries to tackle me as I'm in my speech. He tackles me. I'm like, why would you tackle me? I'm small. I got low center of gravity. I get him off me. I start uppercutting him. Whipping his ass. He realizes that he's losing. He tries to call his security guard back. He's like, Thomas, Thomas, come help. I look over. Wayne, my security guard, Wayne got a real big stomach. Wayne had Thomas on the wall. When I looked over, this is exactly what I saw. Wayne was like, what you doing? Where you going? No, shut up. No, what you doing? Where you gonna go? What you doing? It didn't look good. I didn't know if he was helping me or helping himself. I never brought it back up. I didn't want to know. So now, reality has kicked in. I'm like, oh, shit, I'm in Dallas, Texas. If I get arrested out here, I'm not getting out of jail till like Tuesday. I'm like, yo, let's go. Get the car. Nate, get the car. Let's go. This is how I knew Nate was an OG. Nate got the car, pulled the car up on the curb, blocked the whole curb off, right? I've never seen Nate this hype in my life. He was hype as shit. He's like, hey! Get Kev in the car. Hurry up, man. Hurry up for the cops come. Somebody grab his head, push his head down so they don't see him. When he said that, I was like, oh shit, Nate used to be a killer. How else would he know what to do in a situation like this? I was like, I don't even know who he is anymore. Then he snaps on me. He's like, I can't believe you, Kevin. You got a career. You doing television, you doing movies, you gonna jeopardize that shit for a street fight? That's stupid. Let's go. Hurry up, man. Hurry up for the cops come. We don't have time. Y'all wanna do what y'all wanna do. We gotta get the hell out of here. We don't have this type of time. We never pulled off. We got locked up on the spot. Cleveland, I love y'all. My name is Kevin Hart. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh my God.
The patience of that, to just sit in that.
You are once again painting the picture. And it's like you can't cheat that process,
right?
Like if you're trying to do a good job of making sure that the audience sees and understands everything that you are doing, they see it, they get it, they're in it. That to me, that's the best of the best, yeah. Right? Like when you don't have to use the words and the visual attachment to your performance, right? The idea is something that I'm going to paint this picture and I'm doing my best job to make you feel like you're there. If you do, then oh my God, how cool is this? How dope is this? They're with me every single step of the way. And now, once again, going back to the world of callbacks and the concept of connecting it all these dots connect, and every time they do, the audience gives you an amazing payoff of laughter. Nate in this car, taking his time, like, I don't think that there's anything funnier. I don't think there's anything funnier than the old man being old when you're trying to be a person that's either punctual, that's in a rush, or if you have no patience. There's nothing more frustrating then a person checking every single mirror, putting the seatbelt on. I mean, it's so much. Yeah. By the way, he's doing nothing wrong. This is what a driver is supposed to do. He's supposed to do all this shit. Shit just burned my balls. I couldn't take it. I couldn't take it one bit.
I wanted to get inside the mind of you while you're on stage. So like, as you're going through this set specifically, and you, at that point, all you had to compare was with I'm a Grown Little Man, I guess also Shaq All-Stars, but like, are you feeling like, oh, I'm killing this and this is going to be a classic? Are you still nervous each joke? Like, what's going through Kevin Hart's brain during this taping?
I mean, you know what? It's really like you don't think, or I don't want to say you don't. At the time, you're not thinking about what could be or how crazy this whole thing is going to like blow up to become, right? Like you don't see that. You're just like, man, I want to put on a great show. Holy cow, man, I can't believe Brian Shaq came. Wow, man, this production, this setup, this is great. I love my outfit. Oh man, I'm on cloud nine right now about this show and about the opportunity. I hope this one is going to be bigger than my last one. Like that's what you're thinking. I just wanted to be better than my last one. And I shouldn't even use the word bigger, because you're not thinking about it in a, you know, on the side of like, this has got to be, it's got to be way more, you know, successful and more people got to respond. You just want it to be better. I just hope the material is a progression. I hope that it shows me moving forward and still getting better at the craft. That's what I hope. That's what I hope the takeaway is from here.
This special, like I said, truly, I think it's so evergreen. The memes, the jokes, the gifts that I didn't even realize was from this special. And it's still, you know, charts to this day. But going into, in closing, thinking about acting my age, what are you most excited about? And then what little pieces of Kevin from Seriously Funny are you bringing into that stage, if at all, if any pieces?
This I'm most excited because of, like, in my personal opinion, man, I just feel like I keep getting better at the craft.
Yeah.
And my understanding attached to telling a joke and breaking your joke down is as surgical as it can get, right? And in this concept of really dealing with the mindset of an older man, the life of an older man, and making sure that I still revert back to the younger generation in some way, shape, or form so that I don't lose them while talking about the things that I talked about. These are all things that were extremely important in developing this material, yeah. Right? And I'm excited to see the response. I'm also doing something real cool. Like, we got an intimate feel to this tour, right? We're doing like premium theaters and you know, this is a reason to dress up. This is a reason to come out. It's seeing Kevin Hart in the atmosphere, unlike any that you've ever seen me in, right? And reverting back to those other times where, you know, I was doing those theaters and we're doing multiple shows at the theaters. Well, it's going to be that same type thing, the same type of energy, but at this point in my career, it comes with a higher level of success attached to it and an understanding and takeaway that I feel my fan base not only has and has had, but will be excited about. The one thing I want everybody to realize is that I'm still in love with the craft. I'm very much in love with stand-up comedy and what it does for me, what it does for my mind, the joy that it brings me. And to be talking about another hour of material, my ninth one, I mean, this will give me 9 hours of comedy from a catalog perspective. And that to me is dope. That's a hell of a goddamn IP pedestal to stand on. And the fact that I'm able to say, I'm still recreating, I'm still finding a way to reshape, mold, and redefine myself. And this one is special. This one is special. So when we go and we revert back to these crazy memories of old, we talked about Grown Little Man. In this case, we talked about Seriously Funny, which is to this date, you know, the quotes that came from this, the memes that still live on from this day, from this special. You know, there's so much that I can say about it. But what I love that I hold on to is just the idea of fun.
Yeah.
You can tell that I was having fun.
Yeah.
Laughing in the middle of the jokes, laughing at the setup of the jokes, having a good time telling the story and having a better time enjoying the reactions of the audience. That's a feeling that I'm never going to let go. And on this tour, acting my age, I can't wait to get a lot more of it. I can't wait for you guys to be blown away, you know? And if I don't say this is my best material to date, then why am I doing it? You should feel like every time you come to the stage or come to the table with something new, it's the best version of yourself. That's how you're supposed to feel, because you worked on something and you're not working on anything for it to be mediocre. You're doing it because you want it all to be great.
Yeah.
This is that. You guys are going to be in for a treat. Buckle up. Act of my age. Go get your tickets right now. This tour will be one for the record books, as they all have been. But I'm going to make this one a little more special. Danny, you did a good job, man. You didn't fuck this up.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you.
So, ladies and gentlemen, once again, we've cracked the code. We've cracked the informative code. And that informative code is just about giving you information. Looking behind the curtain. Sometimes when you look behind the curtain, you discover things. You go, oh my God, I didn't know that. And I hope I gave you a couple, oh my God, I didn't know that. That's the beauty of Gold Mines. Because we get inside the minds of amazing people. And today was no different. Oh my goodness, what a mind this was. because it was my mind. It's Kevin Hart. Hope you enjoyed the breakdown in the memory lane of Seriously Funny. And I hope you further enjoy the new memories that are coming your way. Acting My Age, new tour, tickets on sale. Best believe this will be evergreen and it will be universal.
Gold Mines with Kevin Hart is a Sirius XM and Laugh Out Loud radio production and executive produced by Kevin Hart, Mike Stein, Brian Smiley, Eric Eddings, and Eric Weil. Produced by Danny Sellers and Leslie Guam. Engineered by Danny Sellers.